back wearing the big, massive chain. He had the young lady on his arm.
Yeah.
Well, according to another young lady on Instagram, this dude was is a serial cheater and was at the game with, quote-unquote, his side chick. The girl who made the allegations wrote, this is according to BustedCoverage.com, the girl who made the allegations wrote, quote, he lied about how this trip when he swore it was a guy's trip. He also told me he had cut this girl off, but clearly that was another lie in the Instagram poster floating around social media. So apparently, yeah, that's a hell of a way to get busted is on national TV, allegedly.
Snoop, that ever happened to you? Get busted through a picture? Somebody seen you with?
Oh God, that's one of my that's on my bucket list.
Okay.
Snoop, you love the people outing themselves for dumb things on social media. This is taking that a massive step further.
Hey, but a cool way. I like it. Hey.
I figured he'd like that.
All right, hour number two of Light the Tower coming up on the Horn.
It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Wayne, Jeff Howe with you. You heard the Bill Murray, it is alive. I am alive and back. 2 days out because of the voice thing, but feeling much better and ready to roll. Going to hear from Chris Beard in a moment coming up. Can we have a breaking news sounder from you, Snoop? And this coming from the University of Texas, it is now official.
It's officially official.
Gary Patterson has been confirmed as the special assistant to the head coach for Coach Sark. So it is now official, and it has confirmed. So there it is. What we figured...
In case anyone needed, I guess if you needed in blood...
ran into Coach Patterson the other day at the 7-Eleven at Guadalupe and,
I'm so glad you can tell this story now.
Just ran into him on my way to do the basketball game and ran into him there. And, of course, folks saw him at the game the other night and ran into him there. And I was like, hey, it was like a long-lost bud. Hadn't seen you in a while. How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. We had good chat. And I said, you've been grinding at it, huh? He goes, oh, we've been in the cut-ups. So
yeah, that was I think the day before we'd talked about it. And I was like, "Yeah, I've heard he's been working." And
yeah,
said, oh, he's here. Yeah. He's very he's much here.
Yeah, he's here. So Gary Patterson, it is official that he was there. Cleanup from hour number one on the Specs text line. Our good friend CB from the Pacific Northwest, who says apparently Jerry Jones is very angry on his weekly radio spot just now. Oh, didn't know that. I guess we'll. Find out. It says, what's he getting paid? I don't know. That hasn't been released. Does it matter?
$100,000.
Yeah. I mean, does it really matter? At that point, you know, we know how that is. Somebody said McDouble is $2.59. Not if you order on the app. Do on the app, you can get those.
$2.59? What's the point?
For a McDouble. Well, the point is, do you want to pay $4.99 for a Big Mac?
Yeah,
or $5.59 for a Whataburger. Just depends on what you're going for.
I try to limit my trips to McDonald's to only that certain time of year.
I understand.
When it's McRib season.
My budget is under $2 for a meal, then it's too expensive.
It's where the apps really come in handy.
All right, just saying.
It's just saying that's where the apps make a difference on that. We're going to hear from Chris Beard here in a moment. I do want to tell the story especially given the fact that we had the passing of Meatloaf, and I'm going to have Snoop bump back with a Meatloaf song coming in next break, and I'll tell him about it, and it's going to require some explanation and setup. Somebody says the signal not good in South Austin. A, the AM, which is coming in clear, and they're working on things. And B, the app. Like I said, makes a big difference on the app. It works quite a bit. Somebody said comedian Louis Anderson has just passed.
Oh, really?
The age of 68, says John in the Bay. Has Chad Hastings mentioned either Meatloaf or Louis Anderson lately? I have to just mention that. So,
man, Louis Anderson did pass away, 68.
Yeah. Somebody else says the McDouble and fries is the $3 bundle you can get.
Okay, there we go.
So, see, that'll work out.
Closer to $1.50.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know that this conversation makes me uneasy. We're talking about Louis Anderson and Meatloaf, two men of substantial size, and then we go right back to McDonald's
yeah.
dollar
yeah,
menu
well,
fodder.
See, there you go. Here's
somebody's
where I was going.
Somebody's trying to send me a message.
Okay. So here's where I was going with this. We had Longhorn Weekly with Chris Beard last night, and I mentioned about the misadventures on the road and a woman veering over into my lane going down 24th right near Lamar. And in order to keep her from hitting me, and she was looking down at her phone and just veered right over where the road curves, I had to veer to the right to miss hitting her. I missed hitting her, but couldn't miss the curb because of the way the road curves, and blew out both the right front and right rear tires, the passenger side tires. First time I've ever had two blowouts happen in my F-150, and was able to limp over to Pluckers to do the show with Coach Beard. And thank goodness my friends at Leaf Johnson Ford, they have great towing service. They got a whole people that got that in there, and they're working on it right now. But, so we get started with the show, and Coach Beard and I are talking about the up-and-down nature play, not only of his team, but also in the Big 12 Conference, where Texas Tech can beat Kansas and Baylor, including Baylor on the road, in back-to-back games, and then lose to a Kansas State team that hadn't won a conference game. That Oklahoma State can beat Baylor after losing earlier, and Oklahoma State handing Baylor its second loss in a week, first time that's ever happened for an AP number one team to lose two home games in a week. So this, there's up and down. You can find all kinds of examples on this. And so we got to talking about how it's important to get. He said the one thing that works out of this is that you're going to wind up getting a lot of quad one wins down the stretch as these teams continue to knock one another off. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see how Kansas State performs against Kansas tomorrow, by the way. First of their Sunflower Showdown matchups. And He said, you're going to get some quad one wins. And I said, well, it's important to do that depending on your non-conference schedule. And we know the non-conference schedule wasn't the best for Texas. A lot of the schedule was already done when they came in, and they scrambled to get what they could get. And he said the Stanford win is looking better and better now. It's aging better because they're playing decently in the Pac-12.
By the way, your non-conference, adjusted non-conference strength of schedule, according to KenPom.com, is last in the country.
Yeah. See, and that's
358 out of 358.
Yeah. So that's where, now, oddly enough, one of the wins that might continue to get better for them, Sam Houston State.
Yeah.
Who's playing really well in the WAC and drilled New Mexico State yesterday, was in that. So all of those things eventually down the road add up. But Chris's point is that the strength of schedule in the Big 12, which is number one, according to Ken Pom, right? Big 12 is the number one rated conference?
Yeah. About any metric you look at.
So if you're getting conference wins, it's going to help you. And he said that'll help. He said, but the non-conference schedule, sometimes it is how it's already been built in and things like that. And then he used the words, he said, but you can't always get what you want. And he looked at me, he goes, Rolling Stone song, right? And I said, yes, but if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. And he gave me a fist bump on that. We joked about that afterwards, and he said, I like that part, talking about the Rolling Stones. So we had that conversation, and then we were talking about other things as well, and getting into talking about his basketball team and dealing with Oklahoma State. We also talked about his dog. Last night, he's a new dog, Mamba. Named after Kobe Bryant because he has a lot of respect for him. He's kind of a charcoal gray lab puppy he got, so he's big into that as well. It's my first opportunity, by the way, and CB brought this up, to weigh in on the passing of Ron Franklin.
Yeah, I did, for the record, I did not address this because I wanted to give you, on our show, I wanted to give you the opportunity to address
it. Yeah, and Ron passed a couple of days ago. I think we got the word of it late when we were on the air of the game Tuesday night. That's when we got, and I had very little throat left just to get through the broadcast, and then haven't been in the last couple of days. He was an icon, certainly, in this area, in the state of Texas, but he was nationally known, clearly, for his work on ESPN for 24 years, with what he did with college football, with Big Monday basketball, and it was an avid outdoorsman, had a great fishing show that he did for ESPN for years. Also, was an outstanding tennis player, going all the way back to his days as a student at Ole Miss, and did help ESPN on tennis coverage in the pre-Chris Fowler. You know, I'm the male anchor of all our tennis coverage presence of Chris Fowler. Ron Franklin had a lot to do with it, and as a result of that, he was at the French Open. He'd been at other events as well. So he was a man of many hats, but certainly known, very well known with what he did here. He was in Houston, was a play-by-play voice of the Oilers for several years in the 70s, and then DeLoss Dodds brought him to the University of Texas. He worked for the university, and of course, obviously, he was the play-by-play voice of the Longhorns from 1983 to 1988, and then from there went on to ESPN. Was always a gentleman, and I know there were the controversial issues that he had at ESPN that led to his ouster, comments to Holly Rowe and then also to Janine Edwards. I did find it interesting both weighed in on Twitter to say they enjoyed working with him. They said there were moments here and there, but they really enjoyed him, thought he was a consummate professional. Those two have done that. And if you, and by the way, I've gotten to know Holly Rowe over the years and our shared experience, her battle with cancer and me losing Laurie to cancer 5.5 years ago. And we've stayed in close contact, and she's something special. But she had very nice things to say. Janine Edwards also as well. He was a consummate professional. Stayed close to the air, was at a lot of Longhorn football practices, basketball practices, served on our board for National Football Foundation College Hall of Fame, the high school selection banquet committee. Would call me from time to time just to get my pulse, even after his broadcast days were done, just to what I thought was going on with either football or basketball or baseball. Said he'd listened to a lot of baseball at home, enjoyed that, and what a great guy. And sorry to lose him at age 79, but he was quite the pro.
I did not know Ron Franklin personally, but two things stand out anytime I think of Ron Franklin. One, you know, you talk about before the Disney merger and ESPN and ABC Sports kind of went away and it was all under the ESPN umbrella, Ron Franklin to me was the voice of college football on ESPN.
He was doing
games with Mike Gottfried. They'd usually have, you know, I know at the time they were working a Southwest Conference game, and for years they had settled into that prime time Saturday night SEC game was typically the Ron Franklin Mike Gottfried game. But honestly, and I know Ron Franklin was great doing football, and we've all heard about football. For me, it's Ron Franklin and Fran Fraschilla doing Big 12 basketball. That's when I think of Ron Franklin doing games, that's the tandem for me, seeing Fran Fraschilla on Big 12 hoops.
Yeah, and Fran weighed in on Twitter with it as well. So he'll be missed, and like I said, a fine gentleman, and was always good to visit with Ron.
Which, by the way, I just want to state this for the record. Brian Davis did a really good tribute to Ron Franklin and the Statesman a couple of days ago. I just find it to be complete garbage that ESPN, when reached for comment for Brian's story, had no comment on Ron Franklin's past.
Who?
ESPN.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess they just felt weird about because of the way things got. You know, they had to settle out of court. He sued them for wrongful termination because of what happened with Janine Edwards, and they settled out of court. But Janine Edwards tweeted out complimentary things
about
it. And
apparently he and Holly Rowe, I guess, had buried the hatchet at some point.
Yeah.
You can't even put out a condolences to the family, thoughts, something?
Yeah.
Other than a no comment?
Yeah.
I just thought that was garbage.
Yeah. I thought that was, not representing ESPN in its best light for them to do that, unfortunately. Anyway, so that's what the case there. A couple other things. Come on, White Rabbits Guru. This is, you know, I don't like the term. I've seen it a lot. I know it aggravates a lot of people when they hear, when they read something on Twitter or when they hear something, they go, be better, be better. So I don't like that term. White Rabbits Guru, I'm sure your tongue is in your cheek when you say this. Saban paying Patterson under the table to be a UT narc? Come on, White Rabbits Guru, be better. Come on, you got to be joking. I'm sure you're joking. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt on that. There's no, you know, we've talked about Gary's wife. You know, Chelsea's been she was a Texas Angel, went to UT. They stayed, you know, in close contact with things. So no, I don't see that.
You know, Gary Patterson's got relationships with some pretty heavy hitting guys on the donor side. At Texas.
Yeah, and started at the top with also the athletic director.
There's this relationship with CDC. And, again, I said it before, I'll say it again, Craig, that's how this whole deal gets brokered. You know, I mentioned when you were out, I mentioned there's a piece my colleague Chip Brown wrote at Hornets 24/7. He actually talked to Gary Patterson at the basketball game the other night, and the quote Chip used was, Gary Patterson hopes he is for Sark what Dick Tomey was for Mac Brown. Mm-hmm. And you think about that relationship, the tie there was Dwayne Akina. Dwayne Akina had worked for Dick Tomey in Arizona, and that kind of brought those. The CDC brought these two to the table. They don't have any relationship.
Right.
Sark and GP, they don't. It's not fair. I know somebody could say, well, this was forced on Sark and he had to do it. No, this was Chris Del Conte bringing those two to the table, and then it's up to everybody in the room to make sure that it works, to make sure it's a fit. It's just really, I think everybody should feel good about it just based on the way it's come together, because this is the role that Gary Patterson wanted. We talked about it again, mm-hmm. at the risk of repeating myself. He didn't want to be just a normal analyst cutting up tape, but at the same time, I think a lot of those responsibilities as a head coach, and even he'd have as a full-time assistant, being on the road recruiting and knowing the hours you have to put in to grind at that job, like you wanted to, pardon the pun, take a step back from all of that.
Yep.
And just really just dig into getting back to his core as a ball coach, helping Texas win football games, getting them ready for the SEC, player evaluations, being that sounding board for Sark. Again, if that's really how he's approaching this job, if he views himself in kind of that Dick Tomey-type role that he was in for Mac Brown, doing that for Sark, this is a win-win for everybody.
When I visited with Gary, when we ran into each other in the 7-Eleven, he said, the word I think he used was refreshing. He said, it's refreshing a little bit. You know, when you're not the head coach, you can zero in on, you know, a lot of the coaching things that you don't get an opportunity to be when you're the head coach.
Yeah.
And was talking about just, you know, diving into to video and things like that. Which is what Sark says is one of his favorite things to do on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night, is just to dive in to in the digital, in the cut-ups, in the visual.
And you can speak to this, too, having known Mac as long as you have. I think Gary Patterson's probably in the same position Mac was in early 2014 after the separation from Texas, where you pull back from the job, you're out of it, and you realize those last few years when the results weren't what you expected them to be, you realize 10 years ago, none of this stuff would have slipped through the cracks.
Yeah.
And that tunnel vision you have to, we got to get it back on track, we got to win ball games, you've got to get it back at a certain point, and you let a lot of stuff slip through the cracks. And I think Gary Patterson now can look at it and say, man, there's stuff that in, you know, 2009, 2010, there's no way he lets that stuff slide. And whether it's player evaluations, personnel, staff, whatever, now he can look at it and really kind of reset everything. Mac did it going to the broadcast booth. I think this is Gary Patterson's reset, just staying involved in the game, but not in the full-on, full-bore mode he would be as a head coach.
Yeah, good point there. White Rabbits Guru said, I made his day. So that's good. I knew your tongue had to be planted in your cheek, because your stuff's been too good over the years for you to be serious about that other take. Longhorn in Lubbock says, have y'all spoken about the Tech fans getting basketball chicken account code? We have it on air.
I'm out of my depth on this. I got to be honest with everybody.
Well, here's what's known. That someone or ones, individuals, got a hold of the email that went out to season ticket holders for Texas saying, hey, we want to make sure we have a full house among the games, or Texas Tech and Kansas. Here's the code. And it was like Longhorns 21, whatever the code was. And it got passed around to Tech fans, and so they bought up a lot of tickets. I do think this might be a little more inflated than it might need to be, because if you look at the breakdown of where those tickets are, where the folks are buying them, a lot of them are going to be in the Mez. So it's going to be similar, I think, to when Baylor's been here in recent years, when there's been a lot of Bear fans in the upper deck, when Kansas comes to town, when A&M used to come to town, like that. So will there be a lot of red and black there? Yeah, there was last year. And a couple of weeks ago when Chris Beer and I were talking about it, he said that was kind of a marketing strategy they had when he was at Tech. Is that,
well, 2 years ago, because last year was the COVID year.
Right. Yeah. That's right. 2 years ago was to buy the tickets on the road, not just at Texas, but in other places that weren't selling out. Buy up the tickets, take Tech fans there. Of course, there are Tech fans in the Austin area,
plenty,
obviously.
A lot of them.
So I think you'll see, obviously, quite a bit of red and black in the stands there. I think you were going to see that anyway. So I think you'll see that. You're not going to see, you know, 13,000 of 16,000 fans wearing red. It's not Barnhill South from the old Southwest Conference tournament days, where clearly in the 80s into Arkansas's last year when they played there, where literally the Razorback fans bought 13,000 of the 16,000 tickets.
Yeah.
That's why they called it Barnhill South. It was a gigantic home court advantage for them when they used to just put those tickets on sale, and then they would show up in the RVs in the parking lot, and the standard joke about Arkansas fans that came down in the RV with a $10 bill and one change of underwear and didn't, or one clean pair of under, or an extra clean pair of underwear, and didn't change either the whole weekend, that kind of deal. They lived in the RV and went to the ball games out of that. So you'll see fans there, but you know, I don't think you're going to see 13,000 there for that. CB says Ric Flair says he'll be in Lubbock for the Texas game on February 1st.
Awesome, good for him.
Yeah,
I don't know what I'm supposed to add to that.
Yeah. So
that game's got enough juice as it is. You know, yeah. Tech fans are pissed, and just let them get it out of their system.
Sean number three asking, what was the position group? Gary Patterson specifically. Yeah, he's listed as special assistant, but everybody knows he worked really closely with the secondary.
He basically coached corners specifically at TCU.
Yeah. So
corner is his preferred position.
But he'll be the special. All right. Back to basketball.
Well, you want to just make this part of the notebook?
Yeah,
hit this
we'll
after
do that.
The break. Yeah, we can do that.
All right, we'll do that. We'll hit this right now, the break.
Jeff.
Then we'll come. No. Then we'll do Jeff Howell. Long run.
Gotcha.
We'll do that coming up. We continue with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
The Wagner Wire.
This is Light the Tower, and this is maybe my all-time favorite Meat Loaf song, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. Not only because of the rocking number of it, but this song is about, you know, two kids getting together and walking right up to the edge of taking that step, parked at a drive-in.
What step are you talking about, Craig?
The step. Okay.
You want to elaborate and be more specific?
Well, I'll tell you who's going to elaborate here. I want you to listen to this part of the song coming up. He's talking about he's got her parked and they're getting rid of this. And then in the middle of it, There's a Hall of Fame broadcaster who does baseball play-by-play of how it's proceeding, the guy's progress to get to the to get all the way home. And listen to what happens here. He does this. So we're coming up on this. Remember the late, great Phil Rizzuto, broadcaster of the New York Yankees for years? They
from Billy Madison fan.
Yeah, well, they got Phil Rizzuto on this song in 1977 to do this. So it's worth a listen here, this part, because not only his description of what's going on, but then the end result when they're she's putting on the brakes on everything and what guys will say to perhaps make anything happen if they can. So it's coming up right here. He's talking about they were pushing. Okay. Here it comes, right here. Listen to this part, Jeff.
Oh, that step.
That step. Now, here's Phil Rizzuto. Cue the baseball play-by-play of this guy's a tip. Now he's at second.
Batter steps up to the plate. Here's the pitch, and he's going. And what a jump he's got. He's trying to third. Here's the throw. And in the dirt, safe at third. Holy.
So now he's at third.
Taking a pretty big lead out there. Almost daring him to try and pick him off. Pitcher glances over, winds up. And it's bunted down the third baseline. The suicide squeezes on. Here he comes. Squeeze play is going to be close. Here's the throw. Here's the play at the plate. Holy cow, I think he's going to make it.
Stop right there.
So, I just want to know, like, before back in the day,
that she's asking the questions.
Did everybody understand? Everybody understood what the baseball innuendos were all about.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Everybody knew what this was all about.
Okay.
Are you going to do all these things before we take this step? And here's Meatloaf's response to Luann Martin was singing this, by the way. So. Here's his big answer. Here's the big answer.
Let me sleep on it. Baby, baby, let me sleep on it. Let me sleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning. Let me sleep on it.
So,
baby, you can do the whole song? How long is the song?
This is just one more part of this. Okay.
I'll give you an answer in the morning.
All right, so he wants to sleep on it, right? Let's take this step, and then I'll think about it, right? You know, typical guy response.
Well, let me sleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
And her response to that is...
I gotta know right now, do you love me? Will you love me forever? Do you need
and the challenge point's coming up right here. Okay.
It's an interesting dynamic emerging here.
The video's pretty interesting, too.
She wants to know right now.
Right now. She wants. Right here, she's asking the questions.
What's it going to be, boy? Come on. I can wait all night. What's it going to be, boy? Yes or no? What's it going to be, boy? Yes or no?
Now the harmony will come in.
So is this like Meatloaf's version of Freebird or what?
It's a kind of an anthem of his. And what, she harmonizes, I gotta know.
What is the name of this song?
Paradise by the Dashboard Light. And then here's his answer.
Will you love me forever?
I couldn't take it any longer.
I was crazy when the feeling came on.
All right.
So
I'll allow it.
So he goes, I swore on my mother's grave I'd love you to the end of time. And then his next line is for both of them. So now we're praying for the end of time. Hurry up, man, arrive. If I got to spend it a minute with you, I don't know what I would do. So.
All right, so Paradise by the Dashboard Light checks in at 8 minutes and 28 seconds.
Yeah.
It's underneath Freebird. Freebird's 908. It's, if you're not longer than Freebird, I'll allow it.
And see, there you go.
That's, again, for those of you who aren't regular listeners to the show or just need me to repeat it, that's
praying
my,
for the end of time so I can end my time with you.
That should be an unwritten rule. Actually, no, not, it should be a written rule on every recording studio in America. If your song is longer than Freebird, it's too long.
I agree with you on that one. But it tells an interesting story.
Oh, it does.
About youth and growing up and all this stuff. Meatloaf passed away at the age of 7, at the age of 74. So somebody said, turn this crap off, R.I.P. Meatloaf.
Is that kind of like...
And then somebody else said, awesome tribute.
Is that kind of like one of those deals, no disrespect, but I'm about to really disrespect you and say something disrespectful?
Something like that, which brings us to the notebook. So
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
Which was one other thing I was going to mention about Chris Beard, and it folds right into this. I asked him...
Okay, we got a Meatloaf segue to Chris Beard, so I don't know how
because he loves classic
out.
Rock and roll. So it's and I mentioned to him, you have the most eclectic mix... I'd said this last night on Longhorn Weekly. You have the most eclectic mix of music that is played during practices and also in shoot-arounds day of game. I said, I'll give you the other night, for example, Gallagher-Ibe Arena, the Friday night practice. I walk in, Jukebox Hero is blaring from Foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
Followed up by two hip-hop songs. Followed up by Johnny Cash, I've Been Everywhere, Man. Followed up by another hip-hop tune. Then there was a gospel tune. Then there was something. And he explained that he said, I love Plucker's food, and my team does. In fact, I asked Marcus Carr when he came. He said, oh, I eat here a lot, Marcus. He said, I asked my guys, you guys all like Plucker's, right? And he said, yeah. Would you want to eat it every day? He said, no offense to Plucker's, but you don't want to eat Plucker's every day. And they said, right. And he goes, so why would you listen to the same music every day? How about some variety? And so the players all get to select two songs that go into the practice playlist. The coaches get one each, and it's kind of on shuffle, but it depends on how the practice is going too. He said, I'll look and I'll see some guys grooving to Merle Haggard, and I'll say from across the floor, hey, you like that Merle Haggard, don't you? So he said, just, you know, getting to experience a lot of different things.
Yeah, practice mixes over the years. We were talking about this during the break. A Shaka Smart practice mix was pretty hip-hop heavy.
Yep.
Can't recall off the top of my head, Rick Barnes practice mixes.
Didn't have music for a while, and then it was largely hip-hop.
The one that really just used to grind on me was Tom Herman's practice mix because it was the same. If you were at practice, you knew what period was coming based on the song.
Yeah.
Like, if it's Drowning Pool Bodies, they're doing circle drill. Never fails, every time. Like, you basically got to know what practice periods were coming up based on the song.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily a bad mix. It was just the same one over and
over. It can change during the practice, obviously, with basketball. Anyway, speaking of Coach Beard, asked him about the rematch with Oklahoma State and what they're looking for, and he said, hey, it's you know what you're getting when you're dealing with Oklahoma State. Snoop, do we have Coach Beard on this?
On the
yes,
horn.
We do. What
live,
is that?
Live, local, and digital.
Yeah.
Horn app, hornfm.com.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Why is
podcast
that
podcast page for hour number one.
Yeah. It is at 1.21.
We're not hearing
don't forget
it at
the
all. Got
Blitz podcast.
Nothing playing
not
at all.
Not able to play so. After 2:12. Oh, my God. Okay.
Horns 24/7. Anywhere you get your podcast, click the follow button.
Okay. I'm going to play it off of here instead. Sorry. I apologize, Longhorn Nation, for that. Here we go. And... Okay, 3-2-1. Oh, gosh. Where is it? Oh, 2-12. Okay. Sorry, guys.
Live
here we go.
Yeah, Oklahoma State. Same deal. Here we go. Big 12 next round. You know, one of the best teams in the country just playing in the Big 12. So, you know, 3-3 Texas, 3-3 Oklahoma State. Round two with those guys. They beat the number one team in the country, Baylor, just a few days ago on their floor, on Baylor's floor. So we'll have to play well. But it's no different than any other night in this league. You know, Oklahoma State's a program we have a lot of respect for, but I think probably more important for our guys right now is not necessarily who we're playing, but, you know, can we get back to Texas basketball? Can we establish ourselves on both ends of the floor and just continue and try to get better?
Are you impressed, and I know you're probably not surprised because you know Mike Boynton well and you know what he expects and gets out of his players at Oklahoma State, but I have to say, I know a lot of folks nationally are impressed with how hard and how well this team has played, knowing full well that in the first weekend in March, their season ends because they're not going to be allowed to participate in the postseason either in the Big 12 tournament or the NCAA tournament. I know it's impressed a lot of people that they continue to play really, really hard and really well for lots of stretches of ball games. At least.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me, but I certainly recognize it. I think everybody in our sport does. Mike does a great job. The thing that's unique about this team is in the age of the portal and everybody's teams changing, Oklahoma State's teams basically stayed the same. These are all the guys that played last year with Cade Cunningham. They've added a couple key pieces, including one of our former players. Tariq Smith played for us last year at Texas Tech, and now he's playing Oklahoma State, so that's kind of, you know, unique coaching against one of your former players. But that's college basketball today with the portal. Mike's done a great job, and I think give the players credit that they bonded together. There's a competitiveness there at Oklahoma State. We saw it last year as they made their NCAA tournament run with Cade, and they've just really continued where they left off.
What's as important as anything else against these guys on Saturday?
I think transition defense. Oklahoma State's a team that really likes to play in first down, is our terminology. They like to push the ball after a make or a miss. And they've got a couple of elite, you know, ball handlers with Isaac and Avery bringing the ball down the floor with speed. They've got shooting everywhere. So our ability to get back and play first down defense, to play transition defense, to stop the ball, to find shooters is going to be really important. If we can get the game into second and third down, I think it benefits us more.
There it is. The thoughts of Chris Beeren on the matchup with Oklahoma State. Did you have another notebook item?
I do, but we'll just save it for Monday.
You sure?
Yeah,
just
have time.
Got a couple
to
minutes.
Today. No,
couple.
We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
All right. By the way, again, folks, a lot of folks weighing in. So it was great to hear Meatloaf. A couple other people said, oh, it's a long song. Yeah, it's a long song. CB asking how long is In the God of DeVita. It's about 15 minutes. I don't really care if I ever hear that tune again. No offense to Iron Butterfly, but just probably don't need to hear that. So... JP says, see, Jeff, that song by Meatloaf was composed when rock ballads were all the rage. All of those songs went on longer than they needed to. He was telling the story about that. Somebody says, me and the hubby love to karaoke this song. See, get a husband-wife team up there, a couple team up there. Could do that.
Hubby is one of those words I don't like. Does it just kind of grind your gears a little bit?
That's all right. I'd rather... As long as I know we got a female listener, I'm okay with
that.
What would you and your girl do a duet karaoke? Do y'all have a favorite song together?
You talking to me or Craig?
You.
No.
I guess both y'all.
You know, here's the deal. So my wife doesn't karaoke, right? And I will do it if I've had a few, you know, choice beverages.
Yeah.
You want to know, like, my go-to?
Yeah, what's your go-to?
Okay, The Gambler by Kenny Rogers.
I could see you doing
that.
It's
the best. It's one of the best damn songs ever written. And to the point where my buddy Chris Dukes, when he got married several years ago, after about the third time I did it, the wife, I got the throat slash. Like, no, you're not doing
it. No more?
No more. We're done. I'm cutting you off.
It's been a lot of years.
Gambler's my go-to.
There you go. It's been a lot of years since I've done it. You had to be around Bill Schoening and have a couple of pops in you. I mean, because Schoening was always good for getting up there and singing My Girl. Mine was Secret Agent Man.
Oh,
yeah, it was.
That would be a fun LTT road trip as a karaoke night.
Yeah, I bet it would be. All right, we'll be back to wrap up Light the Tower here on the Horn.
Hey, what's up?
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes.
Yeah, this was my karaoke go-to for time.
Dude, where do I hear this song? When I hear this song, the first thing I think of is the second Ace Ventura movie, you know, when he's like on the safari.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, Snoop. Craig, yeah. You've seen that, haven't you?
Yep. Yeah. Johnny Rivers.
Right, they cut it off right before he has to evacuate the rhino.
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Sure is hot in these rhinos.
Somebody says The End from The Doors was 11 minutes and 41 seconds. Jethro Tull's Thick as a Brick is 43:36. That's a concept piece. Somebody else likes The Gambler. Definitely one of the best songs ever written.
Damn right it is, man.
Kenny Rogers knocks it out of the park with his voice. You really get the feel that you're at a saloon and a gambling table. Yeah. We're on the train bound from nowhere, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, all that. So we're up on the end of this one, and want to remind you. Somebody said a good friend who managed Graham Central Station, Odessa, in the mid-80s. He'd dress up like Meatloaf. Then he and a hot bartender would get up on stage and reenact Paradise by the Dashboard Light. This went on for a solid year. Got the crowd going every time. I've stolen this act many times at parties and karaoke's with the wife and sometimes acting both parts. 100% crowd pleaser. Always a good time. Meatloaf has been an icon since he first started in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah. Bat Out of Hell album is off of them. We're done for today. Have yourself a good weekend.
Real quick, just to recap, Gary Patterson official as a member of the Texas football staff. And don't forget, any junior day information, transfer portal stuff, go get it at Horns 24/7.
And coming up next, Chad Hastings and also the inimitable Ronald John Elling III, Trey Elling, coming over from Whitestone Brewery. So get ready for that. That's coming up next. For our producer, man behind the glass, Snoop Daniel. And for my co-host, Jeff Howe, I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. We'll visit with you Monday on Light the Tower. Secret.